Bibles, please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And this morning we'll be reading verses 25 through 32. Verses 25 through 32, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And in your Schofield Reference Bible, that's page 1253. Page 1253. And as is our custom to do, let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that final verse we just read is the text verse. And let's pray. Father, bless and meet with us now in the demonstration of thy power. Father, we're used to coming here. It can become habit. It can almost become like a religion, and yet we come today seeking something new, something fresh, something that we need, something from thee, and we pray for thy help in the service, for thy Spirit's power upon the preacher and listener alike. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And our Heavenly Father, this is the only sermon that my people are going to get to hear on Sunday morning, November 25th, 1979. And you know, I'd rather die than cheat them. Dear God, forbid that I should ever enter this pulpit without a heart that's warm. Forbid that my people should ever leave without hearing a little bit more about how to better live the Christian life. Conform us just a bit more to thine own image, the image of thy Son. May a holy hush settle here. Amen. One of the most amazing stories I ever heard, I heard Tuesday at noon. I want to share it with you. I don't think I've ever heard a more startling event in anybody's life. I was sitting at lunch in Atlanta, Georgia, with two preachers beside myself and a well-to-do Christian businessman. I'm sure, though I do not know, I feel sure, a very wealthy man. I looked across the table, and that wealthy man had lips that began to quiver, and tears were both invading and escaping his eyes. I knew he wanted to tell something. And that wealthy businessman told one of the most amazing things. He said, "Dr. Hiles, recently I did something I want you to hear about." He said, "Recently, after 50 years, I went and told the man he was forgiven. Are you listening? Who killed my mother." And of course, that arrested my attention. He said, "After 50 years, approximately 50 years, I went to the man who killed my mother and told him he was forgiven." And I called him by his first name, and I I said, Jack, what? What was it? Tell me the story. And he said, when I was a 9-year-old boy, my mother was riding down the street in the car. And a fella, a young man, was shooting with a rifle or a gun of some kind, shooting the street lights. And he said, as we were driving down the road, one of the bullets careened off the street light, and as it would, came into the car and killed my mother. And he said, I went to the man and I told him he was forgiven after all those years. Then he said, another thing I had to forgive somebody for. When I was a youngster, I walked the aisle in a church. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know how to be saved. Are you listening? And he said, I told the preacher I wanted to be saved. And the preacher said, what is your name? I told him my name. He wrote my name on a card and said, have a seat on the front. Nobody prayed with me. Nobody took the Bible and showed me how to go to heaven. And he said, Dr. Hiles, I've forgiven him, but I can't go tell him. I'll never forget that. A man could go to a fella and say, you're forgiven because you killed my mother. But he couldn't get the courage to go say you're forgiven because you didn't tell me the way to heaven. He said, all these years I live without Christ. But he said, the man that killed my mother, he's tried to do so many things to make recompense or make amends. He's given to the poor. He's donated to benevolent organizations. But he said, I went to him, and tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, I went to him and said, you are forgiven. And you know, I got to think of how that man must have felt. Forgiven. Forgiven. After a half a century. Forgiven. 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 And ringing in my mind, in my ears, ever since Tuesday at noon, I've heard that word, forgiven, 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 forgiven. I find myself saying, bless God, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. One of the most beautiful words ever penned. One of the most beautiful words ever spoken. Forgiven. Somewhere out east, there's a tombstone in a cemetery. And on that tombstone is just written one word. Forgiven. And somewhere out east there's a hill. It's called Calvary. And on Calvary there was a cross. And on that cross there was a Savior. Young ladies over next to the aisle, I want you to listen to me now. And on that cross is written one word. Forgiven. Forgiven. Let it soak in your mind, folks. If you come to Christ, you're forgiven. Forgiven. Forgiven for your past. Forgiven for your weaknesses. Forgiven for that night you'd like to erase. Forgiven for those words you wish you had not said. Forgiven for those paths you wish you had not trod. Forgiven for those things you wish your ears had not heard. Forgiven for those things you wish your hands had not taken. Forgiven for those thoughts you wish your mind had not thought. Forgiven. 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 No wonder somebody said, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden in my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. And I've been singing this week. And I never have in my life wanted to sing like I've wanted to sing lately. I have the hardest time not singing while I preach. I'm sure you're glad about that. But honestly, honestly, at the latest spectacular, I even sang a song while I preached. And I mean, I've heard Roloff, and that encourages me. He does it. I've been singing, and I just want to sing. I don't know why, but I just find myself wanting. And all week I've been singing,
Songs like this. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. All week I've been singing, and I wanted to sing, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Why? Bless God, my sins are gone. That's why. Oh, never forget it. Forgiven. Can you imagine how that fellow must have felt who carried the blood of that woman on his hands because he was carelessly shooting up in the sky? And I've thought about it again and again. Oh, I said, "God, don't ever let me take the holy weapon of God and carelessly shoot it up in the sky anymore. Oh, give me a holy urgency that this is not a toy. This is the Word of God. And when I preach and when I teach, when I witness, help me to stop to realize I must be careful." But can you imagine how that man must feel this morning, who after 50 years has carried the blood of that woman on his hands, and that son went many miles to talk to him to tell him, "Forgiven! Forgiven! That's the message of the gospel! Forgiven! That's the message the liberal knows nothing about! Forgiven! That's the hope of the world! Forgiven! That's the hope of the gospel! Forgiven! That's why Jesus died! Forgiven! That's what it's all about! Forgiven! Forgiven!" No wonder the psalmist said in the 32nd Psalm, "Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven." And no wonder the Apostle Paul shouted that again in the 4th chapter of Romans in verse 7 when he said, "Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven." Let me just tell you what that word "forgiven" means in the Greek. It means to send away. God has sent away my sins. Did you hear me? He's sent away. Something else it means, completely canceled. Ah, sing it, completely cancel, completely cancel, completely cancel. Every burden of my heart, completely cancel. All of my sins, cancel. God does not see my sin. Why? Forgiven. Forgiven. It means let loose from. It means blotted out. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you will not be saved till you face this sin question. You've got to face this sin question. You can only face the sin question with the Son answer. The Son of God, who paid the penalty for your sin. Being saved is not coming and getting religion. It's not Mr. Shuler's possibility thinking. It's not Mr. Peel's power of positive thinking. It's being washed in the blood of Jesus by faith when God forgives and stamps on your record, "Forgiven." It's stamped in the blood of Jesus that cannot be erased. Forgiven. 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 There's a joy that exceeds forgiveness. Hold it a minute. I wonder who was the happiest. The fellow who'd had the blood of that mother on his hands for 50 years when he heard the word "forgiven," or the man who'd carried it in his heart? I tell you, I bet you when that man said, "You're forgiven," and he walked away, I bet you that man that had carried the blood of that woman on his hand for 50 years, I bet you there was a certain cleansing feeling in his soul. "I'm forgiven! I'm forgiven!" Oh, but let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I know something about this too. The man who forgave went on his way rejoicing, singing, "I have forgiven! I have forgiven! I have forgiven!" For if there is a thing that exceeds the joy of knowing one is forgiven, it is the joy of knowing that one has forgiven. The little boy said in his prayer, trying to quote the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are dead against us." And that's what we ought to do. I've often said this, you ought to build your cemetery somewhere in which you bury the faults of friends and loved ones. Now I say this, folks. The nearest thing you ever come to being Christ-like is when you forgive. It is not Christ-like to be forgiven, for Christ was never forgiven. It is Christ-like to forgive.
It is the nearest thing you ever know to real revival is forgiving. Real, honest revival comes when people forgive. It's the hope of any church, especially who served for 20 years together, as we have in this place as pastor and people. We've got to be forgiving. We've got to realize folks are going to hurt us. We've got to forgive. Folks are going to slander us. We've got to forgive. Folks are going to do us ill. We've got to forgive. It's the hope of any church. And no church can exist very long unless they come to the altar of forgiveness and bathe therein regularly. Not used, it spreads like cancer. It is a task that nobody can do for me. It is one of the noblest tasks that one can perform, this matter of forgiving. Johann Lavater forgave, and after he had forgiven, this is what he said: "He who has not forgiven an enemy has never yet tasted one of the most sublime enjoyments of life." And 10,000 times, I guess, I've said from across this pulpit through these years, once you've ever tasted the holy heavenly caviar of forgiveness, you'll never be satisfied again eating the garbage dump of vengeance and revenge and retaliation again. I can stand this morning, and I mean this, and God knows I'm not perfect, and God knows I have not yet apprehended, but I can stand this morning and I can say two things up in heaven, and oh, listen, if you don't shout about this, there's something wrong with you. Up in heaven, I do not have one single sin charged against me. Not one! I'm justified! I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven, and He holds me fast. I'm justified, Bill Harvey wrote. Not one single sin. You looked at my past, you'd find there's sins there. You looked at my life, you'd find mistakes, far too many. But if you went to the book of life this morning, up to heaven, and looked under the word, the letter H, and down toward the last part of the H's, you'd come to my name, Hiles, Jack Frazier Hiles, and you'd look under my record and you'd see not one single sin charged there. You say, "You must be pretty good." The truth is, I'm not good. And the older I get, the worse I think I get, and the more less I think of myself. But blessed be God, when Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me, when I, as a little 11-year-old boy, on my knees down in Dallas, Texas, a poor little kid, when I looked up and my faith made contact with God's great heart of mercy, God's justice was satisfied, and God erased all of my sins from my record in heaven. I want to say this too. Just as sure as there's not one, if you went to heaven this morning, you would not find one sin charged against me. And I mean this with all of my soul, and God knows this is true. If you could come inside my heart today and examine inside my heart, you would find something else is true. There's not one sin of anybody recorded against anybody recorded in my heart this morning. Not one. Not one. I'm 53 years of age, and I don't want to live with hurt feelings and unkind thoughts and bitterness and revenge. No, all of that. I'm forgiven. And because if God could forgive me of all of my sins, I dead sure want to forgive others of the sins they've committed against me. John Paul Richter forgave, and he said, "Humanity is never so beautiful as when praying for forgiveness or else forgiving another." I love what Mark Twain said. I'm not a fan of Mark Twain, like his writing, but I'm not a fan of his philosophies. But Mark Twain said something that is beautiful. If you don't get a thing but this in the sermon, it's worth your coming for. Mark Twain said, listen, he said, "Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it." Oh, I love that. Did you hear that? Fragrance, or forgiveness, is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. If somebody crushed you, forgive. If somebody hurt you, forgive. Well, you say, "If they'll come and ask me, I will." Forgive anyhow. Forgive now. Forgive. The minute they crush you, leave the fragrance of the perfume of forgiveness on the heel that crushes you. Frederick Robertson forgave and said, "We win by tenderness. We conquer by forgiveness." Lawrence Stern said, "Only the brave know how to forgive. It is the most refined and generous pitch of virtue that human nature can arrive at. A coward never forgave. It's against his nature." Alice Carey forgave and said, Nothing in this lost and ruined world bears the meek impression of the Son of God so surely as forgiveness. You'll be like Jesus when you go soul winning, but you will not be any more like Jesus when you go soul winning than when you forgive. I want to remind you of something, folks. We're as much commanded in the Bible to forgive as we're commanded not to steal. The same book that says thou shalt not kill also says forgive one another. Oh, this dirty kind of Christianity that comes to God and says, oh God, I'm wicked, forgive my sin. And God takes every sin of your life and forgives it. And you go off and hold grudges against somebody else over some little pit and something they've done against you. You ought to be jumping up and down and saying, if God in heaven... Listen, when I saw Calvary the first time, Bob Jones University tour, I often wondered how I'd feel at Calvary. I often wondered. You folks who went with us on the tour, remember, you can't go up on Calvary anymore. It's a cemetery now. You can't go up there. They have it locked off. Only people can go there, folks, having funerals. Remember what we did? Huh? We got in a funeral procession like they have over there. They walk in their funeral procession instead of drive. They walk one after the other. We got in a funeral procession, put our hands over our hearts. And they opened the gate. We walked right up on top of Calvary, stayed there. But I often wondered how I'd feel when I looked at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I knelt there and looked up at that little hill the first time. And Dr. Bob Jones said, let's board the bus, it's time to go. But I couldn't board the bus. And Dr. Bob said, Dr. Hiles, we got to go. But I couldn't leave it. I was kneeling there, tears streaming down my cheeks, and I looked at that little hill for the first time, where Jesus paid the penalty for my sin, and where God's justice and mercy kissed each other. And I looked at that little hill, and tears streaming down my cheeks, and finally, Dr. Hiles, everybody else on the bus, we got to go. And I said, I can't go. I can't go. And the thought that came through my mind was this, dear God, if you could do that for me, don't ever let me hate anybody else as long as I live. Forgiven. Edwin Chopin forgave, and he said, never does the human soul appear so strong and noble as when it foregoes revenge and dares to forgive an injury. Charles Dickens forgave and said, I forgive you. I like this. I forgive you. I do. And you can't help yourself. I forgive you. Forgiveness is commanded in the Bible. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind to one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. You remember the story? Not new to this pulpit, I imagine, and certainly not new to your ears. But I love it. The boy left his father's teaching, left his mother's care, left the luxury and love of a home, went out to a distant city and wasted his life in riotous living and joined the prodigals of history who've wrecked their lives and ruined their lives. You recall the story. How the boy rode home and said to his father, he said, Father, I'm coming down the railroad tracks. I'm coming home. I don't know if you'll take me back or not. I don't know if you'll forgive me or not. But he said, Dad, if you'll forgive me, take a towel of some kind and tie it on the top of the tree that's nearest the railroad tracks in the orchard beside the house. And you recall the version of the story that you've heard, but this is the way I heard it. The boy came down the railroad tracks. He got closer to home. He stretched to see if he could see the tree that was nearest the tracks. And as he got closer and closer to the tree, he wanted to see if there was a towel hanging on the tree, because if there was a towel there, that meant that his dad had forgiven him. He was welcome back home. He got close, and he looked, and he began to cry and shout. And he said, look, look, look! The old dad had gotten dozens of towels, and there was a towel on every tree in the orchard. And that's what God has done for you. Matters not what you've done. Matters not how stained your garments are. Matters not how deep in the quagmire and the hog pen of sin you've gone. Matters not the tainted sins and the wickedness of your life. It matters not! Jesus lifted a tree 2,000 years ago. And on that tree, one word. Forgiven. 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 The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. I go to bed at night this week thinking about that man who for all those years had lived with the guilt of a murder of a woman, a mother. I wonder how he feels when he goes to bed at night. I expect he says, thank God, forgiven. 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 Every one of us ought to go to bed at night shouting, forgiven. Forgiven. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And you can lose yours this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, come to Him and be forgiven. If you're here as a child of God, forgiven of your sins, be sure that every sin against you is forgiven. 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 Forgiven.